Open up to Exodus chapter 15. I think we all agree with Chris. We have no idea why the Lord chose us, what the Lord was up to, but he's got a plan for us all, and we accept him as our Father. We may throw the odd tantrum here and there, but he has a plan for us. So Exodus chapter 15, the title of the talk is... funnily enough, wells of living waters. And we sang a few choruses about water and rain, and, well, it is raining. So wells of living waters. So Exodus chapter 15, just to introduce. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So this story, of course, is about changing bitter waters into sweet waters. And, you know, us as people, human beings, we know that we are the tabernacle of the Lord. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you can imagine, before being filled with the Holy Spirit, we had waters. Waters would bubble out of us. But, of course, they weren't truth. We tried our best. We tried our best in whatever we were doing to maybe do the right thing, maybe some of us believed in God and we thought we were doing the right thing, but this goodness that was coming out of us, this that was bubbling out of us, was not righteousness. It was filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. So in a way, what was bubbling out of us was bitter waters. And then the Lord filled us with the Holy Spirit. So we have this Holy Spirit, which is likened to water, of course, elsewhere in the Scriptures, and we know that that water is sweet. So it's like in this instance... We had these bitter waters, but the Lord healed those bitter waters, and we now, what flows out of us is living waters and sweet waters. So it's a great allegory here that this amazing miracle the Lord's done in our lives and can do in other people's lives. So that truth that comes out, that purity, that sweetness comes from the Holy Spirit, and it's no longer that bitterness of the bitter waters, that untruth and that unrighteousness. So right over to the New Testament, James chapter 3. James chapter 3 is another aspect. Verse 7, "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh?" So, we've got this other aspect where we are in the flesh. We're flesh and blood. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a fact. But there are instances where this unusual thing happens, where this fountain, this well of water, which we are, we're the vessel of the Holy Spirit, where this well of water can produce sweet water and bitter water. And it says here in James, clearly this is not the way it should be. We bless God with the same mouth, and we have a propensity to, what's it say, to curse men or to deride men, and so it's not right. It doesn't make sense. Like you have a well that produces salt water, it can't produce fresh water. You got a well that produces fresh water, it can't produce salt water. It's not right. But the thing is. It's a fact. It's a fact in our spirit-filled lives that, yes, we've got the Holy Spirit, we produce sweet waters, but occasionally we produce bitter waters because we're in this flesh and blood. It's just a fact. And I remember years ago, I was living in Geraldton at the time, and there was this saint there, amazing vision. She'd say some incredible things about the walk in the Lord and the things of the Lord. And then occasionally she says things, I think, oh, that's a bit weird. Reading a book and something in the book wasn't right, I'd immediately discount the whole book. But I looked at this lady and I thought, no, I can't do that. You know, the fact that she said something a bit weird and wasn't quite right on doesn't take away from this amazing stuff that she was saying before. And at the time I thought, oh, yeah, people say stuff, saints say stuff, and some of it bears fruit and some of it's weeds. It's just the way it is. The fact there's weeds there doesn't take away from the fact there's beautiful fruit in other times. And so the same, sometimes we have the Holy Spirit, it bubbles out this beautiful stuff, and a saint says incredible things, but then another time, you know, they might, whatever, say something a little bit bitter, I guess, or not, a little bit off. But it shouldn't take away from the fact that, yes, they have got the Holy Spirit and there's a good thing there. So James here is saying, on behalf of the Lord, of course, it's not the way it should be, but we live in the flesh and blood and it's just the way it is. When we look at other saints and we have fellowship with other saints, it's just the way people are, it's the way saints are. We'll carry on, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual and devilish. So here implies that we can be inclined to have a form of wisdom that is earthly, sensual and devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, this is the wisdom from above, this is the sweet waters that bubble out of us, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Such nice things that there's peace that permeates throughout the assembly. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So, of course, yes, I'm sure I've made my point here, is we want to draw upon the wisdom that descends from above, that wisdom that bubbles out of us, that sweet waters that bubble out of us from the Holy Spirit. And if we have an inclination to draw upon the wisdom that is earthly, sensual or devilish, then somehow try to switch it off. Or if you observe someone else, another saint, that has a moment of confusion or a moment where in the flesh or whatever, you don't take away from the fact that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they're covered in a cloak of righteousness, they're perfect in the Lord's eyes, and it doesn't take away from that beauty and that sweetness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So it's fairly abrupt there. Peace and holiness is a good thing, and we want to see the Lord. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So this root of bitterness, or this bitter waters, can spring up and trouble us. We're human beings, and the fear of that is, thereby many be defiled, so it can spread, which is not a good thing. Now, I've spoken before, and I've just finished reading actually about Jephthah, the judge of Israel. It's such a sad story, but in a way, it's a nice story, because Jephthah was thrown out of home, and he had what appears to be an unstable upbringing. He made a few decisions. He wasn't confident in what he was doing in some instances, and he had this past that impacted on what he did in the future. And likewise, you know, us as human beings, we have a past that can impact on the decisions and actions and what we say in the future. And some saints, they have a track record of acting a certain way under certain circumstances. And it's just the way it is. It's that they've got a past that, for whatever reason, they've got a track record for acting that certain way. But then, like, toward those people, we can't let this root of bitterness spring up within us, because the fear of that is that it'll spread and many will be defiled. Now, as you know, I try to play the violin. I probably know more about playing the violin than I actually can do. But what's so nice about the violin is that there's no frets. So you put your finger, and you could put your finger in the wrong spot, right, out of tune, which happens a lot. But a good violinist hears that straight away and corrects it and puts it in tune. And the point I'm making is we, as spirit-filled people, we think stuff, we see stuff, we say stuff. And so we should be honed in on what's good, what's bad, what's bitter and sweet. And so if we have this root of bitterness welling up in us, we should be able to recognise it. It's out of tune. So quickly put it into tune. And I'll bring out a scripture further on. To hone in on the way you think, to make it pure and make it righteous, so that this root of bitterness, I mean, it springs up and troubles us, but then stamp it down so that it doesn't defile others. So it just stays within you, because obviously, you know, we've all been in the Lord, we've seen examples in the Lord, but obviously it was right back from the word go where this root of bitterness would well up in someone and it'll spread and defile. So it's up to us to clamp it down. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. So here, basically, Paul is adjuring the Romans. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I've heard, you know, verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I read this only recently, of course. I thought, it's not an excuse. It's not, oh, yeah, I'm trying really hard that lies in me to live peaceably with all men, but it's not working. It's not an excuse. But, I mean, we have the Holy Spirit that lies in us. So if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, well, what lies in us? It's this well of sweet waters, this amazing thing. This thing that lies in us is the Holy Ghost. It's God himself. What an amazing power. And so as much as lieth in you, draw on that power, draw on that sweet water to live peaceably with all men. Don't use this as an excuse. We've got this incredible thing, but what this does imply, it takes effort. So God understands it takes effort sometimes to live peaceably with all men, to understand that we're flesh and blood. People make mistakes, say things, keep doing the same wrong thing. But it takes effort. In fact, Matthew 18:22, it's when Peter came to Jesus saying, look, I've forgiven my brother this many times. And what does Peter say? He says, forgive 70 times 7. So it's a lot. So just keep doing it. So these people that keep doing the same thing in the same circumstance, well, what's Jesus say? He's saying, well, give them another chance. Just keep giving them another chance, because you never know, further down the track, they may show their true fruit. They may show their true fruit, the true sweetness of the waters flowing out of their bellies. And that's what God's done to us. We keep mucking up. We keep soiling our nappy. But the Lord says, no, I'll give you another chance. I want to keep you in my hand, and I want you to keep trying and keep coming to me. And that's God. I mean, he's God. He's amazing. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. If at all possible, that lies in us, draw on that same thing, that same amazing thing. It's difficult. I mean, we are constrained by many things. Time is one of the big things. We can't understand time, and we've got this flesh and blood. We've got the mind, the spirit of man in us. But we have the scriptures, and we've got prayer. We've got fellowship, and we can draw upon those sweet waters to give people another chance, to get rid of that root of bitterness. Romans chapter 12. Oh, sorry, we're there. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's what I was kind of alluding to, transforming and the renewing of our mind, always looking to the good things, thinking the way God wants us to think, stamping out straight away those bad things that we think. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we know that for a fact, we do not war after the flesh. We do not do battles for the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And here again, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So bringing into captivity, knowing those thoughts and putting it back into tune to the obedience of Christ. We obey Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went ahead and died for us. He knew the bigger picture. He understood fully, and it says with joy he went through that, although it was painful, but with joy he knew the end product. He knew the end product was glorious and it was a beautiful thing. And so we live here on earth, and we look through the things that are happening because we know there's this great and wonderful thing to be a part of, to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. I mean, we have a snippet of it, you know, with great fellowship, talking of the Spirit, reading the scriptures. We have a snippet of that thing, but it's only a small part of it. We know that through obedience of Christ and bringing captivity every thought for peace and righteousness, we will have this glorious thing. Romans chapter 7. So that then, when this well, which we are, may produce salt water. We say, nay, no salt water can come out of this well. It's not right. Let it bring forth sweet water. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So Paul, of course, understands. He was caught up to the third heaven. And he understands there's this separation. And praise the Lord, you know, through time we all get a greater understanding of the separation between the flesh and the spirit. And he makes it clear here that the law in my members are warring against the law of my mind. And so it's basically the members there's this separation between the flesh and the spirit. And Paul struggled because he was a man as well. And so, again, it comes back, it takes effort. It takes effort to have the mind of Christ, to be obedient under the Spirit, to constantly put it back into tune, to constantly hope for those sweet waters to bubble out of us, to draw upon that power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4 and verse 5. Then cometh he, Jesus, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So this is what we have, this promise that Jesus has proclaimed here. We have this water that wells up within us, springing up into everlasting life. That's the power of this sweet water that's in us. And I like what the woman said. She just plainly says, give me this water. So we got on our knees and we asked the Lord for the Holy Spirit, but the thing is, we can always ask for this water. We've got it in us, but ask for more. We want this sweet water. We want to push away that salt and bitter waters that we have a propensity to produce. Give us this water. Give me this water that I thirst not. See, we've entered our rest. We've through stammering lips and another tongue, we've entered our rest. And so we no longer thirst for that rest, but we can kind of lose sight of the rest. We can lose sight that we are righteous in the Lord's eyes and that other saints are righteous in the Lord's eyes. And so we draw upon this, the power of the Holy Spirit. Give me this water that I thirst not, that I don't struggle anymore to enter the rest. Although there's effort, of course, like there's a prayer and there's a fellowship and so forth. But Jesus is that living water. That's where it came from, and that's where those wells can bubble up in us. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. So I've alluded to that. Out of our bellies, we are that well where that tabernacle shall flow rivers of living waters. That beautiful thing. And even Isaiah 12:3 says, Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's a source of great joy because we have these wells of salvation. Revelation 22:17, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So whosoever will, there's no restriction. And the Lord's already called us, whosoever will, we will. We will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's the water of life. It's what helps us. It's what makes us firm before the Lord, confident before the Lord, confident in our position in the assembly as well, confident in where we are with dealings with other people in the assembly, and take of the water of life freely. That's the life, because we've got the answer. We've got the answer to life, the meaning of life. We've got it. And I often think we don't, hey, that's it. You know, like other people are wondering and postulating what the meaning of life is. As Lawrence often says, he was wondering what the meaning of life was, but we've got it. We can move on. We know what life's all about. We can draw upon this water of life freely. God gives unto all that ask, and we want to have this sweet water just flowing out of us, and to mask any sort of bitter waters that may pop up. Okay, last scripture, Acts chapter 1. Just a simple scripture here, but it summarizes it so well. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So beforehand, there was an outline of what he did and taught. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up. So all those things were chronicled until the day he was taken up. After that day, so after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So verse 2, it's all about the Holy Ghost now. It says, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments. Since Jesus died and was raised again, it's all about the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost, the commandments are given. That Holy Ghost is that sweet water, that water of life that comes from Jesus, that we don't have to thirst again, that bubbles out of our bellies, this well of salvation. It's all about the Holy Ghost. It's all about God in us. The flesh, the mistakes, the bitterness, all that stuff doesn't matter. That earthly wisdom, that sensual wisdom, it's all about the Holy Ghost, that wisdom from above, that purity, that righteousness, that peace. And how beautiful it is when the saints of God dwell in peace. It's a beautiful thing. And if we draw upon that and remember it's all about the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost, if we ever have these thoughts or roots of bitterness, quickly put it in tune so it doesn't spread. Because we have a beautiful thing here. The Lord has done a wonderful work to bring us together with a people that have a vision, with a council that guides the vision as is needed, and for us to then our responsibility is to call unto the Holy Ghost always and live peaceably with all men. Okay, thank you. I'll hand over to Rod.